Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you here this weekend. Always happy to be on board with this program whenever I get a chance to host it. It's a terrific thrill, and I hope it's great for you folks in the audience as well. Now, the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production. We want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Now, sometimes their management there doesn't really like what we say on the show, and certainly some of their clients have not liked it, but they still support our right to say what we say, and we appreciate that. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show can also be found at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com on their website, and, you know, we've been with them for about 10 years. In fact, this show started with that company, so again, we appreciate them supporting us for all this time. Now, of course, I hadn't been hosting it for that long. I've only been around for like 2.5 years on this. However, it has been enjoyable. And we are on social media. Main Street Radio Network, of course, has its social media accounts. Facebook, Main Street Radio Network. Twitter, at Main Street Radio. And Wimkin, at Main Street Radio Network. But also the Silk or Joe Show has its own little social media page on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. And let's not forget the Al and Nathan Show, which is the show that runs 5 days a week, plus an extra hour on the weekends. And they are also operated by Main Street Radio Network. And they can be found at AlandNathan.com, Twitter at AlandNathan, and sometimes on the Main Street Radio Network social medias, as well as, of course, Main Street Radio Network, the website itself. Now then, on to the topics of the day that, you know, unlike the Al Nathan Show, I don't write them out beforehand. I just get really annoyed at stuff. Like, for example, the NAACP, I was about to say OOACP, that ain't it. It's not like the James Bond NAACP. Anyway, the NAACP's local chapter in Oakland, they got kind of upset with city government because of the out-of-control crime in that area. And, of course, the local government is the defund the police types, pro-crime policies and all of that. And, you know, I gotta wonder, you know, the NAACP, they've been hardcore supporting the Democrats for decades. So what do they expect would happen is my question to them. Okay, you support these guys, you put them in office, they do what they say they're going to do. You expected something different? You expected a different outcome? I'm not sure what your beef is with them. They're doing what you voted for them to do. You donated money to these people. You gave them votes. You clearly wanted what they were selling, but now you don't? Maybe they just realized that what they were pushing wasn't popular with their voters, and they're now trying a desperate grab to continue with the keeping donations coming into their local chapter and throw in the politicians that they supported under the bus. But it's not the only place that's going on. For example, in Washington, D.C., a Democrat councilman wanted the National Guard to intervene over surging crime and violence in the city. And again, this is another case of a pro-crime Democrat who's out there championing these policies that lead to an increase in crime. And then when it finally comes to fruition, oh, hey, let's get the National Guard in. I'm totally not responsible for this. I have no idea how the situation got so bad. You knew exactly what you were doing, you idiots. Or maybe they don't. Maybe that's part of the problem. They actually believe all this hype about these pro-crime policies actually being anti-crime or some garbage like that. Or they think crime really isn't crime. Or they think that decriminalizing certain things like theft and assault will lead to an actual drop in violent crime, as opposed to encouraging worse crimes happening, because people see that you're not getting in trouble for these little things, so they will just keep pushing the envelope further and further. You know, it's like Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show said, speed limit's 55 miles an hour. You let someone go 56 miles an hour, well, they might just decide, you know what, I can do 57. You let them go at 57, they might be going 58 then, and so on. So, slippery slope argument there. And it's certainly, as much as the right is criticized for talking about slippery slope arguments, saying, oh, that's just right-wing propaganda, it's hogwash, none of that could possibly happen, it's not going to get to that extreme. Well, now you have the slippery slope leading to a city councilman calling for the National Guard, a Democrat city councilman calling for the National Guard to be wheeled out, and another slippery slope in Oakland leading to the NAACP calling out the Democrats running the city. So it does happen, and they are right at the bottom of that slope, apparently, although they're going to find that there's a lot more to slide down. Now, in Portland, we got another case here showing, I guess, how far down our court system is. You wonder if Trump's going to get a fair trial in D.C. or other leftist strongholds. Well, let's tell you what happened in Portland this past week. A defense attorney for Antifa declared, quote, "I am Antifa," and threatened the jurors, told them that she would remember their faces. And here's the thing. The client that this Antifa lawyer was defending, or the clients that this Antifa lawyer was defending, they are accused of doxing. That is the process of looking up someone's identity, you know, based on a picture of them, or based on their name, or based on their social media account that you're not liking the posts on, and finding all of their personal details, addresses, banks, jobs, etc., and leaking that out to the public, and saying, hey, this is a bad person. Look at all their personal information. Go attack them or protest in front of their house or whatever. So that is what these people are on trial for. Naturally, the jury acquits them because, well, the lawyer just told them, basically, these guys who are on trial for doxing are going to dox you if you don't acquit them. So the judge in that case obviously didn't do anything because it ended in an acquittal. Now, how are we supposed to get fair and equal application of the law when lawyers are allowed to threaten the juries and the judges don't do anything? Is the judge also afraid of being threatened? It is Portland. They have a strong Antifa presence there. They know, that judge would know perfectly well that if they did punish that lawyer, then they would have Antifa at their doorstep, as well as every juror's doorstep. So maybe they're just throwing, this was a civil case, they're just throwing under the bus the guy who brought the charges, Andy Ngo. He's a reporter that Antifa beat the crap out of, and the jury would have seen what Antifa did to him, mind you. They would have seen, because that was the whole thing. This guy was doxxed by these two people, and Antifa beat the crap out of him for it, almost killed him. So these jurors are looking at that, and they're saying, well, this happened to him. The lawyer's threatening that it's going to happen to us. What are we going to do about it? Maybe the judge felt that way too. So I guess if you are on trial, the easiest thing to do is threaten the jury and threaten the judge, I guess, because apparently that works, at least if you're in a Democrat city. And of course, they're going to get away with it because Democrats deny the existence. And the FBI, mind you, they don't give a crap that a judge got threatened, or the local police. They don't care. The local police in Portland are stretched thin anyway, and they can't arrest these people. They just, the case would get thrown out by the district attorneys. But the FBI, they don't track these people either. Even though Antifa is composed of people who make a habit of migrating from state to state to commit their crimes, and they deliberately announce their intentions beforehand. So, you know, there are various interstate laws being violated. As much as the left like to make a case out of Kyle Rittenhouse crossing state lines, Antifa actually does a lot of that, even worse than what even more specific to federal charges than what Rittenhouse did. So the FBI, they admitted they have no interest in this, although it is today's FBI. You might recall them, Christopher Wray. He said under oath that they don't persecute Catholics. It was just the local department in Richmond, Virginia. The trouble is, though, this past week we got newly released documents showing that it was actually FBI offices across the nation that were targeting Catholics. So Christopher Wray, he got before Congress and he told a big lie under oath about what the FBI was up to with this. And of course, there's going to be no retribution because you can lie. If you're a Democrat, especially, if you lie before Congress, nothing happens. I think the only person who ever got held accountable for that was Eric Holder. And even at that, nothing happened. Congress just says, oh, we issue this edict, you're censured. And that's it. Nothing happens after that. No one's held accountable. It means nothing. Eric Holder probably framed it on his wall or something. So we have a very ineffective system for holding misdeeds accountable. Like I said, the lawyer in Portland, nothing's going to happen to them for threatening the jury, scaring them into acquittal of criminals. then you have the FBI lying about persecuting religion, lying about violating people's First Amendment rights, and also the fact that they even did that in the first place. Forget about lying about the fact that they even did that crime to begin with. Well, that's no problem either. Nothing's going to happen to them. No one's going to be held accountable for that. It just goes on and on and on, because there's no system of punishment in place for the people who do horrible things to this country. And it's tragic, because what can you do about it? I mean, we're seeing now that even voting for people who say they're going to do something about it doesn't seem to be working too well. I guess, what, rely on the next election, or just hope that none of these persecutions get turned to you? Maybe if you're Catholic, flip to a safer religion. Even though Joe Biden is Catholic, yet the FBI have been strangely disinterested in him and his criminal doings. All right, folks, we have more Silker Joe Show coming up after this break, so I hope you'll stick with us.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Jorge Gaviria is the founder and owner of Masienda, a supplier of high-quality masa products. Masienda's mission is to carry on the tradition of one of the world's most important crops and empower chefs and home cooks to make the best masa-based dishes in their own kitchens. Jorge can now be seen in a new Capital One business commercial, highlighting how his Spark Cash Plus card helped him grow the business. Jorge Gaviria.
With a Capital One Spark Cash Plus card's unlimited 2% cash back, I invest in research and development for new products that help us grow. It even helped me create and publish a best-selling masa cookbook, providing a guide to using masa at home.
Capital One's Spark Cash Plus card enables small businesses to earn unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases. And with no preset spending limit, Spark Cash Plus cardholders have more flexibility with purchasing power that adapts to their needs based on spend, payments, credit profile, and other factors. For more, visit CapitalOne.com.
Last year, we moved into a new apartment, and it was a new build, and so this was about July timeframe. A couple months later, our apartment came to us, our management, and said, hey, we're going to offer up the chance for the residents to short-term rent their apartments on Airbnb. So it's something that I've always actually dreamt about doing one day. I never owned, but you know, I've always kind of been a renter. And so this was a great opportunity for me to jump on that. This program is partnered with over 250 apartments across the nation to pretty much set up terms to allow their residents to Airbnb their place. So if you go to airbnb.com/airbnb-friendly, you can search by your city and find all the apartments that have partnered up with Airbnb and go from there. That website is airbnb.com/airbnb-friendly. Just go there again, search by your city, and you can see what opportunities are out there.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve, it's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. I want to give a great thanks to our guest for coming in as he did. We have John Smirak. You would have heard him on the Al Nathan Show earlier this week and last week and the week before. He is senior editor at The Stream. He was press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster. And he was a reporter and editor at Success Magazine, Investors Business Daily, and co-author of 13 books, including Politically Incorrect Guide to Immigration. John Smirak, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Fine. Always happy to talk to you.
All right. So you have an article out on The Stream titled, What If the Trumps Had Acted Like the Bidens? Now, that's a question that actually segues perfectly from the end of my last segment, but it's a question that's been asked plenty of times before. What would have happened? Because it sounds like everything that we're finding out about Joe Biden, his influence peddling, is compromised by foreign countries. It sounds like everything they were looking for was Trump.
Right, right. So what I did in the article at stream.org is I took yesterday's Fox News story about James Comer's revelation about the Bidens' corrupt dealings with oligarchs from Russia and around the world. And I just plugged in, for Biden, I plugged in Trump. So I did Eric Trump instead of Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden instead of Donald Trump instead of Joe Biden. And then the rest of the news story is exactly the same. And you need to read it. You're shocked. You're appalled. See, we're so used to Hunter Biden being an obviously corrupt crackhead who's obviously in bed with his father. We're used to it. So when you read it with the words Trump in there instead, you realize how shocking it would have been if Eric Trump had done one-tenth of what Hunter Biden has obviously done. And if Donald Trump had done one-hundredth of what Joe Biden has done in terms of peddling the influence of the executive office to corrupt foreign thugs and prostituting his public office in order to enrich his worthless corrupt crime family.
I got to say, reading it actually seems to me like what I've read during the entire Trump administration from leftist news sources saying, well, this is what it looks like happened. What if this happened? Or what if Special Counsel Mueller finds that all this happened and all of this looks likely to happen from these leaks?
They were all speculative, but none of them turned out to be true. The Mueller report was a giant vegan nothing burger. This stuff is all real. These are smoking guns. These are people who helped do it, like Devin Archer, people who were in on it, confessing to it. And the ironic thing is, all this was denied by our deep state, by those dozens of bipartisan names, those deep state operatives who signed the letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was probably Russian disinformation. Those are the same people who now Jack Smith is saying they certified that the election wasn't stolen. These people told Donald Trump the election wasn't stolen, so he knew, so therefore he's lying, and therefore he should go to prison. The same people who lied about Hunter Biden told him the election wasn't stolen. Well, gee, why didn't he believe him?
Right, and, you know, interesting, I was just reading the other day about how the Washington Post, their story on the Hunter Biden laptop, which all these officials said wasn't real, they corrected it 6 times. Now, they say they've only updated the story, but, you know, when it now says the exact opposite of what it said, I think that's a correction, not an update.
That's kind of like when Stalin had the Soviet textbooks updated to paint out Trotsky and then all the other old Bolsheviks from the photos of the Russian Revolution. So finally, it was just Stalin in the picture.
Right. These corrections, too, they just go to show that the Washington Post can't be relied on. Heck, like the first article about it came out the same day as the New York Post story. How can you possibly have researched the whole thing and say, oh, 6 Pinocchios or whatever, if it came out the same day?
Look, they have a fax machine, an old fax machine in some office that it's not even regular paper, it's scroll paper. And it just comes straight from the deep state. And that's whatever the deep state talking points are. And somebody go get the scroll, and they read from the scroll, and that's what they write.
little teletype ticker in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this really shows how unreliable our media organs are, the deep state is. Actually, is there really much difference between the two? Because you see all these deep state talking heads on the news outlets who, you know, 20 years ago were the ones saying you can't trust these people.
Right. What we have, it's like watching television in communist Poland in 1977, and they're telling you that Lech Walesa is a dangerous American spy who wants to destroy Poland and turn it over to the Nazis. I mean, that's the level of agitprop that we're seeing in the mainstream media. It's like they're reading from a script that's stamped FBI on the back of it.
Mm-hmm. And at the behest of the well, I'm pretty sure there's another one that says DNC as well. But
Right. But they merged. You didn't know that they formally merged? It's just one organization now.
Right.
The FBI DNC. I'm kidding. That's a correction.
But, yeah, I was just thinking of the Washington Post. I don't remember when they had this headline. It was in the last couple of weeks. But they had it was an op-ed, I think, where it just said, stop worrying about inflation or stop worrying about the economy. It was commanding you right there in the title. Stop worrying about it.
You know what I would love to do? I would love to sneak into the Washington Post and change their headline to read, Oceania has always been at war with Eurasia, and just have that come out one day. It would change the world.
Yeah, I always think the chocolate rations are up 20% because that – it seems to go more directly with inflation here. But
yeah, Victory Gin boosts longevity.
Right.
Remember Victory Gin?
Yeah. It was like the worst and the cheapest quality bathtub alcohol moonshine that we got here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sitting here laughing about it, but like we're watching this stuff come to life before our eyes, and we're watching these reporters who would have read these books.
It's gallows humor, and we're the one with the noose around our necks. But if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So,
right. Yeah, just like, this should have been a parody piece. What if the Trumps had acted like the Bidens? Again, at thestream.org. But it's hardly isn't. It reads like I said, it reads like something from 2018 or 2019. From Salon or something.
Yeah, the way I wrote it, I encourage people to click copy. I make a fake story where I replace the word Biden with the word Trump, but I write, it looks straight. I encourage people, copy it and paste it and send it to your liberal friends saying, hey man, look what I read about the Trumps. And watch them go ballistic with outrage about the corruption. And then when they've done that, write back to them, oh, by the way, that was all about the Bidens. We just changed two names. Now, are you outraged at the Bidens or when the Bidens do it, is it perfectly okay?
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly okay to not sanction murderous foreign oligarchs who are involved in coup d'etats and invasions and killing of civilians. It's okay not to sanction them because they sent your son a sports car, literally sent your son a sports car. That happened with Hunter Biden. And that's okay if you're a Democrat, but it's not okay if you're a Republican. Just I want to know. Do you have an actual literal double standard? The way it was okay for Kamala Harris to encourage the George Floyd riots on television, and nobody's charging her with inciting insurrection, but it wasn't okay for Donald Trump to encourage a peaceful protest on January 6th, because it's literally a double standard.
Yeah, and it's infiltrated our law enforcement and Department of Justice. Again, listeners, this is from thestream.org, titled What If the Trumps Had Acted Like the Bidens? By our guest, John Smirak, and we appreciate him being on. And folks, we got more show after this break.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows, and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks, and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, Reflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So in the last segment, I mentioned a headline from the Washington Post that's actually very pertinent to our guest who's standing by here. But the headline was titled, it's from earlier this week, "The U.S. Economy is Great, Stop Worrying About It." And it's a reprint from Bloomberg, I believe, according to the byline. And then the op-ed that I was thinking of was actually from July 29th, titled, "The U.S. Economy is Coming, It's Time to Celebrate." And this is coming amidst the country having a credit downgrade. Well, Bidenomics leads to rampant inflation and plenty of stuff to panic about. Joining us now to talk about this, we have Akash Choguli. He is vice president at Americans for Prosperity. His writings have appeared in outlets such as National Review, Forbes, and The Hill. And was also named one of Forbes' 30 Under 30 in Law and Policy. Akash, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, happy to have you. So what do you make of these spins by the Washington Post? Does that seem to reflect reality, especially with the credit downgrade?
Well, I think it might reflect reality in Washington, D.C., or it might reflect kind of wishful thinking if you are an ally and defender of President Biden, which is obviously what the Washington Post largely is. But it is not reality for hundreds of millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans all across this country who are still dealing with the impact of 2 years of rampant inflation. Now, there are certainly some indicators that are headed in the right direction. Inflation seems to be slowing. Job growth is strong. But the thing that Americans, you know, unsurprisingly measure the health of the economy by is the strength of their own pocketbooks. And things are still very expensive. People are having a hard time making ends meet because for nearly the entirety of President Biden's time in office, essentially until last month, prices were growing faster than wages were growing. So people were getting actively poorer, you know, for 99% of Biden's presidency. And so it should come as no surprise that the polls show that folks simply do not agree with that assessment by the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to agree with it when you're living the opposite of what they're saying. And it's like, I wonder how many people had to cancel their Washington Post subscriptions because of this economy so that they're not even reading that they shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I think there's probably a few other reasons people might be canceling Washington Post subscriptions. I think you raise an important point, right, that sort of discretionary spending, people's ability to spend on non-essential items seems to be declining. Obviously, people had a lot of savings after COVID. They were stuck at home, things like that. And that was sort of getting people through a lot of those tough times and the Biden inflation. Those days are coming to an end here pretty quickly. And so I think one of the things that it's time now, especially for conservatives to start doing, is telling people what a path back looks like, a path towards prosperity. People know that the rampant, reckless spending, war on domestic energy and affordable, abundant energy, special interest politics and policy that's favoring, labor unions and environmentalists over the American people. People know that that's not working. They see it and feel it every day. They're hungry for a better way forward. That's what my organization, Americans for Prosperity, is barnstorming the country doing with 500 events. It's telling them how we rein in the reckless spending, how we free up the energy industry, and how we empower American workers. And that's what people want to hear, what they're hungry for.
Mm-hmm. And certainly not hungry for news about this credit rating being downgraded. Now, what does that exactly mean to the country?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the immediate impacts are probably not something that the American people are going to feel, when they drive down the street. But there are some pretty concerning signs. Now, again, Fitch is just one of a number of credit rating agencies. But it's important to know why they did this downgrade. And that is simply the reliability, the future reliability of the American economy. They don't believe is as strong as it was previously. And by far the single biggest driver of that declining reliability is our national debt. People feel like they don't feel the national debt. We're $33 trillion in debt, and people don't know what that means for them. What that means for them is higher borrowing costs, more of our budget going to pay interest on the debt instead of the things government is supposed to do, like, fund our military or even the funds available for Social Security, Medicare. And so there will be some impacts from this in the very, very near future unless we do something to get our debt and deficits under control. That credit downgrade means that there is little faith in the American economy, the American government, to get that spending and debt under control. And that will have harmful impacts for American families and American businesses here in very short order if something isn't done. And that's what we're charting the course to do, is rein in that reckless spending so we can reverse things like that.
And the Biden administration's reaction, it doesn't seem like they're too concerned about it reining in the spending because when they heard the credit rating was downgraded, they basically said it mean nothing. I forgot their exact words, but it was just like dismissive, entirely dismissive of it. They can do what they like. We're doing fine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, of course, they're going to spin whatever news they can And you see President Biden now sort of barnstorming the country. He was in Arizona. I believe he's going to Pennsylvania, trying to sell Bidenomics. And his administration officials are doing the same thing. But, you know, when people hear Bidenomics, they don't think of whatever successes Biden is claiming. They think of rampant inflation, higher taxes, more spending. That is obviously a formula for economic disaster, which is what the president has dragged us into. And so I think it really just shows a disconnect between what the administration thinks economic success is, which is rewarding special interest friends, like I said, you know, the green energy industry, labor unions, things like that. They think that's economic success that they want to sell. The American people think economic success is broad-based prosperity. This administration has absolutely no idea how to create that. And so that's why you see this massive disconnect.
Yeah, and I think another part of the problem, too, is just how disconnected these people who are making the policies are from what the general public witnesses. You know, inflation, for example, if one of these people raking in six-figure contracts in D.C. or, you know, has the high-paying job at the White House, like Biden has millions of dollars, they're not going to really notice slight increase in inflation and that the food's a dollar more. The average person out there, yeah, definitely is. You know, it's the same thing with these electric cars that they're advocating. That's a nice microcosm of it. They're so super expensive, 2-3 times what a new car would be, yet we're being told that that's the solution, as if the poorest among us can afford them.
No, that's exactly right. And that's what obviously makes Americans for Prosperity unique. Your listeners might be familiar with us. We're a grassroots advocacy organization with state chapters in communities all across the country. We did a tour last year where we were helping to pay down the price of gas to what it was the day Biden took office, $2.38. So you had people waiting 2 hours in line to save $60 on a tank of gas. I met a family, a young mom with 4 kids in the back seat, who was waiting 2 hours to save $50 on a tank of gas, said they had to cancel their only family vacation of the year because they were having trouble making ends meet. I don't know the last time anybody in the Biden White House had to meet somebody like that in their day-to-day life in Washington, D.C., and I think it really is emblematic of the disconnect between their policy agenda, what they think success looks like, and what the American people are feeling and thinking about the state of the economy today.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of gas prices, I saw was the CBS Mornings the other day that they're trying to blame the gas price situation on global warming as opposed to Biden administration policies. And yeah, just what extent are these people going to go to paper over what the failures of the Biden administration? But worst of all, is if the Biden administration actually believes this press and is not working behind the scenes to try and correct whatever problems that are going on.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most, you know, it'd be laughable if it wasn't so scary pieces of the Biden agenda. Obviously, we know that they're attacking American energy because they want to try to boost the green energy industry. But here's the greatest irony. Despite the $1 trillion in green energy corporate welfare, even the Biden White House knows that that doesn't work. And here's how we know that they know. What they have spent 2 years doing isn't just funding green energy with your tax dollars. They've spent it drawing down our strategic oil reserves. They spent it begging Venezuela, Iran, and Saudi Arabia to increase their oil and gas production. So we're not even moving towards cleaner energy, which the administration knows is a completely ridiculous and unrealistic promise. We're still depending on fossil fuels. It's just fossil fuels that aren't being processed and developed by American workers. It's being done dirtier and more dangerously by countries that hate us. And so that's the greatest irony among, you know, the raise, the higher costs and all the other problems that their energy agenda has created for us.
Yeah, and some of these stuff, I was just reading the other day, there was some energy company that the Biden administration propped up, and then it collapsed in on itself, and the headline on Breitbart mentioned it was something like the new cylinder or something like that. So all these things going on with that, and yet they're still, what's the solution? Just dig in deeper and send more money in this direction, even though it's not working.
No, that's exactly right. And I think this is a place where conservatives have got to go on offense, which is, one, you know, obviously the energy agenda for the administration is horrendous. It's raising costs, it's raising the cost of, you know, fueling our cars, cooking our food, creating our food, running our businesses, all that. The American people, I think, understand that. It's also not doing anything for the environment, as I mentioned, right? The United States has seen the greatest reduction in greenhouse gas emissions of any country in the world because of our capitalist economy and the innovation that our country is capable of. On top of that, when you do look at the renewable energy industry, look where it's booming. It's booming in a state like Texas because it's an easy place to do business. It's the Biden administration is letting ideology and politics get in the way of real economic prosperity. It's unfortunate, and we're out to correct the record in American prosperity.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, give us your website real quick. We got about 10 seconds here.
We're at AmericansProsperity.org. We're touring the country, and we'd love for your listeners to come out and get involved.
All right, listeners, we got more show after the break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
Together with One Knoxville SC, PetSafe is thrilled to collaborate and create fields of joy for players, pets, and families in the selection of the pro soccer team's inaugural official mascot. To make this experience truly extraordinary, PetSafe has partnered with Young Williams, one of the largest animal shelters in the country, to create their Unleash the Mascot program. This program will profile rescue dogs and allow fans to vote for their favorites. As we search for forever homes for all six dogs, one lucky pup will be chosen by fans to become the team's official mascot and will be placed in a loving forever home with a One Knox team member. Starting on July 18th, fans can actively participate in the mascot voting process by visiting at PetSafe Instagram channel to cast their vote before July 21st at noon Eastern Standard Time. With this program, PetSafe is also challenging other teams across the United States to transform their fields into spaces of joy by hosting pet adoptions and events that unleash joy for pets and their families. Sponsored by PetSafe.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are joined now by Elaine Parker. She is president of the Job Creators Network Foundation, frequent guest on nationally syndicated radio, and her top op-eds have appeared on the Washington Examiner, Real Clear Policy, and other national publications. Elaine Parker, happy to have you on the program. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, happy to have you on. So, Job Creators Network Foundation, you all have done a recent poll about the economy and small business issues. What are your findings?
Well, we do a monthly poll, as you mentioned, of small business owners across the country. We've developed measurement of their pessimism versus optimism, and we call it the SBIQ, the Small Business Intelligence Quotient. And the poll is conducted by Scott Rasmussen and John McLaughlin every single month. We've been doing this for over 2 years now. And as we look at our small business intelligence quotient this month, small business has just really been relatively flat for the last 2 years, which really equals a no-growth economy for our small business owners, regardless of what we hear about Bidenomics. And it really has to do with a cocktail of reckless spending and anti-domestic energy policy and this growing regulatory state that really has small business in a situation where they're very concerned about the future of the economy. More than a majority of them actually believe that the direction of the economy is getting worse. And more than half are concerned that economic conditions could force them to close. So it's really eye-opening to hear what small businesses think versus what the media headlines and the Biden administration continues trying to tell the American people.
Yeah, especially the news media. I was just mentioning in the last segment, there was a Washington Post article out there that just said, flat out, stop worrying about the economy. And it was apparently a reprint of Bloomberg. Exact quote from the headline, the U.S. economy is great, stop worrying about it. Certainly not what your poll showed.
No, not at all. And the reason why is because what the Biden administration is doing and the media is they're looking at numbers like today, the Consumer Price Index, the inflation numbers came out today. And while they have moderated a bit from 12 months ago, it came in at 3.2%, but core inflation is still rising at 4.7%. Now, if you go back 12 months ago, it feels like, wow, you know, when your new bar is at, you know, 9% and you're coming down from 9%, inflation is still going up. It's just going up at a slower rate. That's all. But the important number to understand is that when in January of 2021, when the Biden administration took over and on day one began that war against fossil fuels and domestic energy that we were producing, that is when we started seeing inflation rise. And when he came in, inflation was at 1.7%. It is right now, even though it has moderated, it is still rising, and it is 50% higher than what the Fed targets. And we've had 11 painful interest rate increases as a result of this historic sticky inflation.
Wow. Yeah, that's certainly not something that indicates that there's nothing to worry about. I mean, an op-ed, from the Washington Post, because the other one was actually an article titled, "The U.S. Economy is Humming, It's Time to Celebrate." This doesn't sound like something to celebrate over, really, what your polls are finding out and what just the reflected reality is that everyone's experiencing.
Well, again, when your bar has been raised to a new level, to come down from that, you can claim success. But you really have to look at when did this start? And what are they comparing it to? They're only comparing to 12 months ago. Over the course of the 2 years that the Biden administration has been in office, prices have risen 16% under this administration's policies, which they have now termed Bidenomics. So we're all paying a lot more for everything. I mean, again, gas is another great example. It went to $5 a gallon, and now it's at $3.82 a gallon. Yes, it's down, but it's still 50% higher than when he came into office. And so when your new bar is so high, he's lapping higher numbers, basically. And people are still hurting. And no matter what we're told in the headlines, no matter what we're told by the administration, when we go to the grocery store, when we go to fill up our tanks, we know we're paying more for everything and we're getting less.
Mm-hmm. And none of the papering over from the media or the Biden administration will do anything about it. And that credit rating couldn't have helped much, downgrade couldn't have helped much either. Although we're told not to worry about that, same way we're told not to worry about the economy. But I'm sure small businesses are looking at that and saying this can't be good.
Well, it is no surprise that Fitch downgraded the nation's credit rating this week. And the downgrade is the check that's coming due for this administration's reckless spending and massive, massive deficits. The debt is just continuing to increase. It actually hit 98.2% this year and will rise of our GDP and will rise to 115% by 2033. I mean, that's just unsustainable spending. And the response from the Biden administration is it's to spend more. It's like I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm going to eat more. I mean, it's just not going to happen, right? If you're going to eat more, you're certainly not going to lose weight. If you're going to spend more, you're certainly not going to get inflation under control.
Not at all. And it seems like that they're just insulating themselves from reality itself. No one's talking about polls like yours. Everyone in the Biden administration at least seems to just be quoting everything's fine, like the Washington Post says. And the reflected reality that the average citizen out there is experiencing, again, it's not something that I guess they're experiencing in D.C., let alone in what they're reading about in D.C.
Yeah, but I think you can look at the overall polls of how the American people feel about how the Biden administration policies are handling the economy, and they're very low. And so I just don't think the American people are just too smart to buy this. Again, it's like they're asking the American people not to believe their own eyes and wallets, frankly. I mean, our wallets are getting thinner and our debts are getting fatter. And that is a real problem. We've got credit card debt at record highs. And again, another headline you've probably seen is that consumer spending is at an all-time high. Well, guess why? People are living on credit cards and they're paying more for everything. So of course, consumer spending is higher. They're paying more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're being told that prices are actually lower than what they used to be, even though, as you said, the bar just got raised higher. Yeah, I mentioned it earlier in the show. You weren't around for the segment, but it's like 1984. Chocolate rations are up 20%, even though they were actually down. It's just crazy what we're being fed and what we're expected to believe. You get the final word on this, Elaine Parker.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. And Job Creators Network, you can go check them out because we are done with you for the day. Plenty of stuff to follow up with from our previous segments. So lots of reading for y'all to do this weekend. Otherwise, I hope y'all have a great weekend. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com is our website. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.